This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne. Presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live, local talk that matters to you. Now, here's Brent and Dave from the Capital Auto Group Studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
Welcome, everybody. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Warren, and you are listening to Newsmakers, your local talk here in the Salem-Keizer and the Mid-Willamette Valley, where we talk about issues and ideas, institutions, and individuals that are affecting your life, affecting your quality of life, and affecting your wallet. And those people, of course, also temporarily reside at the state capitol while they're affecting things that affect all Oregonians.
Yes, indeed.
So nice to have you back. It'd be a great day to be broadcasting outdoors on this spectacular springtime
weekend,
day.
Almost 80. Oh, can't beat that.
So we've been talking the last couple of days about the legislature's efforts to raise more revenue. Actually, We talked with the mayor a couple of days ago about the city's efforts to raise more revenue and so forth.
There seems to never be enough.
No, it would be nice to get a scorecard at the end of this.
Right.
At the end of the session, if we're going to just sit here and allow them to raise all of these different new ways to tax, to get a scorecard and find out the totality of it. And really then kind of evaluate is whether if this is the kind of representation we want in this kind of ratio in the state. I'd like to know what you think. Actually, we haven't heard from our listeners. We had some time a little bit later in the hour. So if you'd like to weigh in on the what they call the education package, I call the tax package.
Right.
The gross receipts tax package. 503-393-1430. Give us a call. Talk to Hunter. See if we can put you on the air. Let us know what you're thinking. If this is a good thing for Oregon, this is a good thing. Take $1 billion a year out of the private sector, but have it allocated to schools.
Mm-hmm.
There's got to be somebody out there that thinks it's a good idea. They elected all these people. So 503-393-1430, give us a call. We'll talk to you on the air. In the meantime, a few other things we haven't been able to get to.
Okay.
Right, David?
You got a laundry list there.
I do kind of worry sometimes about running out of things to talk about
Always. Every
day. but today, I think we're going to be okay.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about today.
All right. Let me switch away from the legislature for a while so we don't get too riled up. In the news today, there's an article about basically partisan money and an injection of partisanship going into nonpartisan races in the Valley. So school board, nonpartisan.
Oh, okay.
It's not Democrat.
Supposed to be.
It's not Republican. Let's find somebody who maybe knows something about education or has something to bring to the table about education. Here on Newsmakers, we've been trying to keep you all informed by bringing in the school board candidates. You know, this does affect our community more than people really realize.
Invitation's been sent to all of them.
Yeah, and we'll have...
We've only had, what, three so far?
I think we've had two with the third one coming on Monday.
Yeah.
Okay. And some of the races are not contested. And I don't know that that needs to go in the air. But school board is nonpartisan. Salem City Council, nonpartisan. What else am I thinking of this? And people are running for these, but now we're finding interest groups like labor unions and Right to Life weighing in and supporting specific candidates.
Wow.
For school board.
Is that unheard of?
It's unusual.
Okay.
It's unusual. I mean, you know, the unions and their PAC funds, the Political Action Committee funds, you know, they do weigh in on a lot of elections, but it didn't used to be. Actually, they usually didn't even drill down into Salem City Council.
And
now it's City Council and it's school boards.
Be.
And next thing it's going to be water and soil conservation districts or something, right?
Refresh my memory. These guys are running for office and not getting paid for it.
Yep, that's correct.
So why are these other groups weighing in?
They think somehow philosophically it's important getting people.
Are they pitching money to
Money or in-kind contributions, organizational help, walking
to help
door
get
to
them
door.
Elected?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. So in Salem Reporter today, conservative groups including Oregon Right to Life and the MaryCounty Republicans have lined up and supported Marty Hyen and Sacha Chandragiri.
Yep, right?
Dr. Satya. I like how his signs even say Satya. They don't say Chandragiri because it's probably harder for us
right.
Old wasps. But yeah, we had Dr. Satya on and Danielle Bethel, who has also been on the show. But liberal causes, conservative groups, liberal groups, including Progressive Salem, and you know we got to follow them because they're the ones that made sure that we won't get a bridge.
Right.
Organized labor and educator unions have backed Raul Marquez in Zone 2 and David Salinas in Zone 4.
Huh.
So then it just kind of begs the question, your question from just yesterday, Dayborn.
Oh, boy.
Is how did the country, what happened? I just turned around and now the country's more polarized than ever.
Yes.
Now we need to polarize the school board. These should be pragmatic things.
They should all be going for the one goal.
Priorities about education.
Yeah.
It is not about right to life. It's not abortion or the death penalty. I mean, it shouldn't be about national issues. I don't know.
Not about the union.
Unfortunately, when people who are passionate about something and they get involved politically, they think they need to weigh in on everything. Right. And then what happens is they lose credibility.
Mm-hmm.
So who has lost credibility? In my mind, League of Women Voters in this area.
Right.
Right. They purport to be educational in nature. We're just educational. You know, we want everybody. We're going to air things up. They have never not supported a tax increase, to my knowledge. Every single tax increase.
Wow.
So they're about tax increases and Democratic candidates, but they're nonpartisan and they're all about education. I want to know how many people are in the League of Women Voters in Marion County and Polk County are registered Republicans, right? Are they really education? And unfortunately, you have an organization with a purported goal that we need. We need somebody who's going to educate the voters and dig through and maybe have a subcommittee or volunteers to dive through and give us the information and educate the voter and so on and so forth. So I had a run in, and by a run in, I passed somebody in a meeting room.
You didn't run them over?
No. And it was measures 66 and 67, hearing at the Capitol. I'm testifying against. And... they were there testifying for. It was very, very clear to me that they did not know the depth and breadth of the tax.
Wow.
They did not know. They hadn't done their homework. They just said, oh, this is more money for the state and the state needs more money. We're here to support it. And they're testifying for it. I'm like, really? That is irresponsible. That's really unfortunate because now you are an advocacy group and a voters advocacy group who is doing a disservice to the voters. So I feel the same thing about right to life. I mean, I'm not going to slam their core mission. Let's not talk about that. Let's talk about straying away from a core mission to dive into things that are kind of outside their highway.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And advocating, and you're just going to make enemies. Right. And it detracts and somewhat dilutes the impact that you could have as an advocacy organization, because now, I mean, what are they going to weigh in now? Transportation figures? You know, and measures on transportation and lottery. And I don't know. It really makes the whole conversation kind of fuzzy. And why does city council and have to be an us versus them? Why does the school of the district have to?
Oh, and the school board.
Yeah.
Ooh, that should not be an us and them thing.
Yeah. You know who I like? I like Jim Green. I hope Jim's listening.
Okay.
Because his quotes are awesome. Let me find a Jim Green. He's a current school board member.
Okay.
And he's been school board chair, and he's been in Zone 4, and he's not returning. He's now working, actually, for the Oregon School Boards Association. So it'd be a conflict, and he's not running for reelection. Well, I haven't voted on an abortion issues on the school board since I've been there.
That's true.
You know, I haven't really voted on abortion issues.
No.
Followed by, I've never, ever had a parent talk to me individually about our health curriculum. In other words, it's not coming up. It's not what they're dealing with.
Right. It's right. Not in their wheelhouse.
So the article continues to talk about how much money there is going into these campaigns. And again, like you said, people are spending money, raising money, spending big money to go get a volunteer position. I got another quote from Jim Greenman. I'm going to hold it after the break.
Can't wait.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's worth quoting. So stick with us. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and you are listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers proudly brought to you by Color Tile of Salem and Sylvan Learning Center.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on Newsmakers. We started the hour talking about the school board races and how money and assistance in these campaigns is coming in for traditionally partisan groups. It's a concern for some people. And we're talking about Jim Green, who is leaving the school board and not running for re-election in his own. So I just really liked his quote. He's one of the times I've met with Jim, and he just seems like a pragmatic, you know, even tempered gentleman. I don't know. Maybe he's got a temper. I don't know. Seems like a rational dude, right?
Nice.
All right. So the article in the Salem Reporter says he's skeptical of groups with no direct tie to education.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Shouldn't we have education advocates or education knowledgeable people running, or education passionate people even? I don't care if you're a complete political novice, but if you're passionate about education and you have goals and you have skills and talents and knowledge that you want to bring to the school board, awesome. Run. Be a citizen volunteer and leader. But, all right, so Jim's skeptical of groups with no direct tie to education and elections. And anybody who claims that someone else's agenda is trying to take over school boards, right?
Yeah.
Again, board seats are nonpartisan, and so are most board decisions, he said.
And non-paying positions, too.
So this progressive Salem, quote-unquote, one of the most ironic, what's the phrase where one thing, a name contradicts itself? So, because they're progressive, but they in the habit of killing things. Progressive Salem, they took over the Salem City Council on an us versus them kind of thing. You can thank Ward 2 Tom Anderson for creating a boogeyman in the business community, who we all know creates almost everything great that's happened in our community, is funded, supported, or initiated by the business community. But he does that trite little, you need me to protect you against these evil money-grubbing business people who are destroying our quality of life kind of attitude. Chamber of Commerce people aren't good people, and they're not pro-Salem. They're 100% pro-Salem, Tom Anderson.
Totally.
You know, this whole divisiveness is so insidiously destructive in our community, for a community that relies upon collaboration. I'm not a fan. And then, of course, you know, build a little cobble of Tommy Etz, what did I call them? Tom Anderson and other people who are progressive, so that they can get a majority on city council and kill the bridge and so forth. Then kill the plastic bags and then ask to be paid and then so on and so forth.
Oh, now they want to be paid too.
Well, that came and went last fall.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
All right. Last quote on Jim Green leaving the school board. People are spending an inordinate amount of money to get elected to unpaid volunteer position where people are yelling at you. And it's true. And it's true. No matter what decision you make, and sometimes they're difficult, like boundaries.
Yep.
They're difficult, like allocation of the budget. And do we have the ability to do, is class size the number one priority? Is special ed the number one priority? Is safe transportation to schools the number one priority? Is athletics and extracurricular activity? Is music the number one? You know, how do you, and people are passionate about these things.
Sure.
And how do you balance that? But half the people are going to be yelling at you.
You can't.
Like, I'm going to sit there for free.
Anything you do is,
Slings and arrows.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, we hope to have the other candidates on. Mr. Salinas. I think he just graduated from Sprague High School, right?
Young guy.
Yeah. So hopefully he has a chance to come on. More power to him. Young guy who wants to get involved. I probably personally would not support somebody that doesn't have more life experience. I think it's great to have...
But he has an investment in the school because he just graduated.
Yes. I absolutely want his voice involved. If he wants
to
be involved...
See, that's a good thing.
Yes. Get on a committee.
Okay.
Right? Get on a committee.
Start at the committee level?
Yeah. Volunteer. Volunteer. Yeah. Start volunteering in your high school or elementary school in the district. I would feel better if you had, you know, more education in civics or governance or something, just a little bit more life experience, right?
Sure.
He's never, to my knowledge, and maybe we'll have him on, he can tell us, but being able to evaluate a complex profit and loss statement, a balance statement,
probably
a public
not.
Budget.
Yeah, probably not.
But absolutely, kudos to him. More power to you, Mr. Salinas. All right. I think he's running against Dr. Chandragiri. All right. You ready to move on?
Yes.
Okay. Your favorite topic. Your favorite topic. By the way, if you want to join us in the conversation today, we have time. 503-393-1430 is the number. Dial in and talk about taxes, talk about the school board, talk about partisanship, if you like. 503-393-1430. All right. Plastic grocery bags. We talked about how the city has banned it. I did learn something new. The city's only banned it for businesses of a certain size and larger.
Really?
Yeah. And then, of course, then you go in, there's no plastic bags.
Right.
And you also, you can buy a paper bag.
Or bring your own.
Which is, yeah, or you bring your own.
Mm-hmm. So we bring our own if we go
and that's
anywhere.
Just the grocery stores. But then I wasn't even thinking of it. You go into your Home Depot and I'm getting
right?
15 little parts or something.
Grab one of their buckets. They have buckets now.
Yeah, but they're more than a nickel or eight.
They give it to me for free. They didn't charge me.
Really?
Yeah. Big, wow. Big old blue bucket.
Blue.
It was a blue bucket.
You were at Lowe's then.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Lowe's gave it to me for free. I was getting my supplies for the sprinkler system. And
awesome.
You know how many of those little joints you have to buy?
Yeah. You can't shove them all in your pocket.
I tried.
Anyway, it's affecting everyone. Now the Oregon House is looking at it as well. Okay. So the House voted.
For the entire state now.
For the whole state.
Oh.
And not just bags. Not just bags, but styrofoam. Styrofoam takeout containers. So the House voted 32 to 28. And they would ban retailers and restaurants from serving food to customers in polystyrene
styrofoam
containers.
Yeah. So my next question, what are they going to give you your food in?
I know, isn't it scary with the Chinese food? Because they can't put it into plastic.
There's
always
is it going to be in a paper bag?
It's going to be something leaking when you get Chinese food.
Yeah.
Right? I'm going to take takeout, but you can't have styrofoam.
Well, they didn't ban those little square boxes, right? Chinese food, little square boxes?
Well, those are cardboard, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So you get those now.
Do you get those home without spilling some on your truck or your car?
Well, yeah, because they put it in a plastic bag now.
not for long.
Inside the paper bag.
Not for long.
Oh.
So the plastic bags, these are two different bills, by the way, but except thick plastic bags are designed for reuse, of course, reusable, and paper bags that aren't made at least 40% of recycled material.
Okay. Here's my next question.
Mm-hmm.
We recently adopted a dog, and we have to pick up after the dog.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic bags.
Yeah, but I think it's a different category.
Okay.
Because it's not...
It's still a plastic bag.
Maybe we all have the right to buy those little plastic bags. We can go get a hoard, a bunch of them if we want them, and take them to the store with us. But then we might as well just have our own recyclable ones or renewable ones. All right. But doggy bags. One, they're biodegradable. Those are made to be biodegradable.
No wonder they're so hard to open.
Yeah. And it's not for restaurants and... take out.
Literally 5 minutes I spent trying to open one.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to have to
get
you some training.
Yeah, thanks.
All right, Oregon. We've talked about this before, the legislature. Oregon would become the first state to ban polystyrene. How do you pronounce that?
Polystyrene.
Polystyrene. Okay.
It's
styrofoam. It would be the first state to ban them.
I don't know why, because we were like the first state to... be able to recycle them. There's a recycling plant that
in Tualatin.
Yes, yeah, which is forever.
But you have to take it to Tualatin.
They're set up recycling places around town.
Mm-hmm. And actually, some people are promoting that.
Same with take it to the bottled recycle place.
Even some of the Democrats in their own party are saying, hey, this can be recycled.
Yeah, take it to a bottle recycling place where they collect it and then send it up there to Tualatin and redo it.
All right, quote from David Brock Smith. He's Republican of Port Orford. Orford. Okay. He owns a restaurant, by the way.
Yeah.
I fear the transition from styrofoam, which is fully recyclable, to clamshell, fully hard plastic, hinged to-go containers, which is a lot more harmful to the environment.
Oh, yeah.
So that's the trade-off. And then people arguing about this is, hey, we can use styrofoam and we could find a way to recycle it.
Right.
But it's not being recycled. And so other representatives are saying, well, as long as it's ending up in the landfill and it's going to be there until the dinosaurs come back, we should ban it. I remember styrofoam being part of a huge public policy discussion in the 70s.
Right.
Any of our newsmaker listeners around then, it's just like, this is destroying the world and we're all going to overrun with styrofoam and it needs to be banned. I'm just shocked that we're 40, 50 years later and we're still using styrofoam. Every time I open a box, and it's like
styrofoam
and it's pellets or it's packed in styrofoam. I'm like, gosh, I thought this was going to destroy the earth. Why do we still have it? All right. So Representative Doherty, she's a Democrat from Tigard. She wants to create a transfer system to make recycling foam products more feasible. So she voted against it.
Good.
Yeah. She's like, no, why don't we just create a way to get this to where it needs to be to recycled?
Yes.
Instead of banning it from the state and then maybe going somewhere else.
Because, again, styrofoam recycling is endless.
Her quote, yeah.
As opposed to cardboard or plastic bags. You can only redo those like once before they become so biodegradable they don't stay together anymore.
Right, the fiber breaks down.
But styrofoam, endless. I talked to the guy at that plant when they opened it up.
Oh.
I did a news story on it. And he said it's endless.
Endless.
Endless over recycling and over and over and over again. They break it down to the chemical level and then redo it.
I went to a tour, and it was somebody that was recycling plastic, and they could reverse the chemical processes and pull out the original oils.
Wow.
It was wild technology.
That's crazy.
It was like, well, we've created this, but we're going to step backwards in the chemical reactions and what we put together and the oil. I mean, it's not all that substantial, but it was fascinating in terms of going back to the original. And I suppose you can do, as you said, you're doing that with styrofoam and you're going back into its original chemistry and then reforming it over and over and over again. All right. Well, Representative Doherty says the intent of the bill is honest, but we don't want to do things that you can't recycle because these things you can.
Right.
So it's kind of nice to see one party not all in lockstep, honestly, I must tell you.
Occasionally.
And arguing about things. All right. So many things are going to happen. We got to take a break.
Yes. Occasionally, common sense breaks through. Occasionally.
All right. We'll be right back. You're listening to Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN Salem's Listening.
Len Benton Tractor's Newsmakers, presented by Les Schwab Tires, continues in the Capital Auto Group studios. Here's Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers is proudly brought to you by Green Acres Landscape.
Welcome back, folks. This is Brent DeHart. We're talking today on Newsmakers a little bit about what the legislature is doing and creating an honestly, I just don't have a historical perspective on this. If I could back up and see 20 years prior and 20 years into the future about styrofoam and the plastic bags and so forth, certainly I see the things on the cable channels and things about where plastic is ending up in the oceans and where plastic is ending up in the guts of whales and other marine life and, so forth. Will this be seen in the future as Oregon took the lead like they did with recycling cans and bottles with the bottle bill in the 70s, right?
Hmm.
And now it's, all over the place. And
but
actually,
again,
when you're traveling and you're in a state that doesn't have them, doesn't have recycling, it feels very awkward.
Yes.
My son had a conniption fit. We were traveling, and And I don't know, he had a soda or a water or something, and he's going through the airport or wherever we were, and he could not find a way to recycle it. And he's just walking around with it. It was driving him crazy because he just couldn't bring himself to throw it in the garbage can. And now we're like a couple of generations later, and this we're conditioned, and we recycle, which is awesome. Will this be the same thing? Did we take the lead, or is it one of those, really, didn't you have anything else to do?
Yeah. Right? I feel like sometimes that is what it is, because ironically, governor of Washington State is running on the green thing, right? Mm-hmm. But Washington State doesn't recycle. Did you know that?
Did not know that.
My daughter lives in Grandview, Washington, and she has a big old garbage can. And I'm like, where's your recycling? She goes, we don't recycle. Everything goes in the garbage. That's why the garbage can is so big.
Huh.
Everything goes into it. And I'm like, And your governor's running on the green thing? Yeah, he's failing at that.
Maybe he's, that's why he needs to be governor, right?
Yeah. He's running for president.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's running for president. Governor
Inslee is running for president on a green platform, and it's from a state that doesn't recycle.
How are you going to get the Northwest vote?
Right.
You don't even recycle.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so the bag ban, House Bill 2509. Make Oregon the fourth state. At least we're not first. We're fourth state to ban plastic checkout bags. Of course, California has a similar law. That one went to the voters.
How come things like that that affect everybody doesn't go to the voters? That's what I want to know.
That's right. I like it. I support that most of the time.
It used to be everything
including self-serve gas, by the way.
Yes.
And it's also one of those piecemeal things. There's 17 cities that have already banned plastic bags. At stores, including Portland, Salem, Eugene, Bend, Hillsboro, on and on. There's 17 of them in Oregon that have already done it. They've taken it upon themselves to have done it.
So why is the state feeling they need to step in?
Uniformity, pandering to their
base. Sometimes uniformity is not the best.
Okay. So Jack Zika, Republican from Redmond, he's like, with his 5-cent fee, paper bags, he's like, enough. He was opposing the bill. We're nickel and diming our citizens. We're just like,
literally.
Like what we talked about yesterday is like, we're going to get a little bit money from your employer, a little bit money from your wages. We're going to get a little bit more money from property tax and gas tax and everything else. And
every transaction that you do.
Yeah. So this is a quote that I not just highlighted for myself so that I would remember it, but I blew it up.
Okay.
Because this is the complaint when we talk about activism. In public policy. Sean Miller, Northwest Grocery Association lobbyist, is his quote. The 5 cents, meaning for the paper bag, right? The 5-cent charge is really a trigger to change behavior.
What?
Mm-hmm. As if we didn't know that, but it's bold. People, please realize not having a third bridge is absolutely a trigger to change your behavior and get out of your car. 5 cents for this bag is really a trigger to change behavior, to move citizens to go reusable. Okay.
I'm not even going to comment. No, I had several brain cells exploded.
Befuddle you. I don't want to sound like a hypocrite because sometimes the government does things that incentivize us to do things. But in social engineering, we do object a little bit to how deep you're getting into the minutiae of our lives for social engineering, right?
Yes.
So we're trying to change your behavior and go to a reusable. I mean, I don't mind. Obviously, I don't mind if the government gives me a tax break to buy a home, to encourage and incentivize us buying our homes with a home interest,
it's best
tax
for
deduction.
Everybody.
Of course, the Democrats are going after that as well. But there are ways in which I'm supportive that the government is trying to incentivize, but like that. Buy your homes because that's what lifts people out of poverty generational
right.
after generation.
Puts people into middle class.
Anyway, the plastic bag ban, if that passes statewide, it'll take effect next January 1st.
Ugh.
And the styrofoam in 6 months. A year after that. So.
Like my styrofoam.
My wife has a thing about styrofoam.
Leftovers.
Like she needs to leave the room. If someone is unpacking something with styrofoam, does anybody have, one of those things like fingernails on a chalkboard? If I am you know, opening up a box and unpacking it with the styrofoams rubbing against the box or itself.
Right.
She's like, and she goes running out of the room.
Have you ever bought anything from IKEA?
Yeah, once.
They pack it in cardboard and styrofoam. Lots of it. And that's, yeah. We put together a couple of chest of drawers and nightstands. Took me, you know, about a week to do. But yeah, that was a lot of styrofoam to get rid of.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And it's so bulky. You can't recycle it in Marion Polk County. So, all right. Let's move on to something fun. You ever been to Ritter's downtown?
No.
Ritter's Restaurant, the corner of State and Liberty. Local ownership. Kind of cool. They're going through a remodel. Mm-hmm. Tells us a little bit about our downtown patronage. They're expanding their bar.
Oh, okay.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
It looks pretty cool. I was in the other day. It's still under construction. You know, they're restaurateurs, family restaurateurs that also own another couple restaurants, the Wild Pear in town.
Sure.
But it looks cool. I think they were probably getting, I can only guess, I haven't talked to them, but I'm guessing they get some after work crowd now.
That would make sense.
Yeah, it's a nice spot for lunch, I think, in terms of if I'm downtown on business, then it's an option, definitely, to sit and grab a bite to eat or in the late afternoon, grab a coffee or a glass of wine. And anyway, another good thing. And you know how we like it here at Newsmakers when people are investing.
Yes.
In Salem, going out and spending more money to expand or improve a business that's downtown.
Speaking of other good news,
yeah.
I found out yesterday, it's on our news on KYKN.com, Geppetto's reopened. I didn't know they were closed, but apparently the adjoining business had a fire and they had smoke damage. And so it forced them to close to clean up. And there was a mural that was on the wall that got a lot of smoke damage. The original painter did it, came and restored it for them.
Really?
And then they had to repair other things that got damaged with the smoke and everything like that. And they just reopened today. So they're open for business again.
That's Geppetto's. Lancaster? Lancaster Drive, I believe.
I think that's where they're at.
Speaking of restaurants, one more update before we go to break. Old Spaghetti Factory actually was highlighted in What's Going On Here. Statesman Journal actually has a nice little feature sometimes where they'll spotlight and tell you what's going on when you see construction.
Okay.
So people can write in and say, hey, what's happening on the corner of such and such? I think people are working on. And this is a restaurant's ad. It's a restaurant site, Spaghetti Warehouse, I believe. And it's been a few different things. It was Old Chicago at one point.
Oh.
And a couple other iterations. And it's going through a complete remodel. It's still going to serve as a restaurant. I don't know who the tenant's going to be. But this next to it, it's come up with you and I talking about downtown parking. Because it has a small parking lot, which is always full.
Right.
Always full.
Sign of a good restaurant.
If we could engineer, value engineer, so it's economically feasible to build parking lots, boy, it sure be nice to have a 3 or 4 story parking lot right there.
Right.
That's where you're going to add capacity. And eventually downtown, especially since it's in the neighborhood of where the new housing is going to go in, build it up and rent it by the month.
5 story parking lot.
It might tower over some of its
who
neighbors.
Who cares? We need parking.
All right. Well, we'll look forward to that getting done. And then
I
the
take
next
it personally,
project,
too, by
project.
The way.
All right. This is Brent D. Hart.
What's your name again?
D. Hart.
Okay.
And Dave Bourne on Newsmakers. Stick with us. We'll be right back. 1430 KYKN. Salem's listening.
This is Lynn Benton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent and Dave, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Now, let's go back to the Capital Auto Group studios on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.
This segment of Newsmakers, proudly sponsored by Hamlin's Nursery. And Brent, you have a correction?
Yeah, I was confusing my spaghettis.
Oh,
like,
how do you do
mixing
that?
Mixing up vermicelli and spaghetti and what have you. But let's be clear, we were talking before the break. I was talking about the spaghetti factory Although the spot in the Statesman Journal was about the Old Spaghetti Warehouse. And that's a totally different place, south of downtown on Commercial. The building is old. I mean, it goes back to 1870.
Wow.
So I remember going there in the past, and that's what's under renovations.
Okay.
So
good to know.
1870. But downtown also, it's the same, in the same situation. You got the Old Spaghetti Warehouse there on, again, Commercial Street, but it's 120 Commercial Northeast. And that's the one that has a restaurant next to it.
Gotcha.
So Old Spaghetti Warehouse and Spaghetti Factory, two different things.
Yes.
Noodles.
Right. Don't get your noodles confused.
Folks, we had a call in.
Diane is on the line.
Diane wants to talk about the school board races. Diane, are you with us?
Yes, I'm with you. I wanted to respond to you saying that the school board, although it is not a non-pay function, it shouldn't be political. Well, the politics have gotten into our school district, whether we like it or not. And Planned Parenthood has infiltrated into our schools, teaching absolute garbage to these kids. And that is why we want to get pro-life people on the school board, because if somebody goes to the school board and they have a problem or a complaint and they want to be heard, we want somebody that's going to be conservative that will go along with what we want for our children.
That's very well said, Diane.
And so I think that we have to get politics in just about everything anymore. We really do. And, I mean, I've got a granddaughter in a middle school, and, oh, my word, the things that come out of that. And I know it's not all the teacher's fault. I realize that. It's the parents that are allowing this stuff. But still, it can be stopped up to a point at the school. I mean, the language over here is unbelievable. It's like a sailor. I mean, I hate to say that about a sailor, but I've heard them talk, and the kids are just as bad. And I know it's in the movies, it's on TV, but the kids' language anymore, it starts in the home, I realize that, but still, the schools have rules of no profanity, but it's not being enforced.
That is true, and it's nice to hear you say it, Diane, honestly.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier, and we don't entirely disagree, because I am complaining about how much politics and partisanship they want to drill down to the minutiae of everything that happens in our classrooms and our schools.
Right.
So what Diane's saying is...
as conservatives, if we don't get involved, then the other side will take over, they've got their foot in the door already.
Well, I think we're going to give you a pass on profiling a sailor there. I think you've...
I'm sorry. Yeah, that was... I misspoke on that. But, I mean, just listen to the movies, and I'll say that they sound worse than the movies or TV,
I thought I was the only person that really objected. And it's not like I have the cleanest vernacular ever. So my friends will tell you, Brent, we've heard things out of your mouth. I try not to do it in mixed company. Try not to do it... in public so much. Maybe when I hit an errant golf ball, which is often.
Well, and then he throws his club, too.
It used to be that men don't use profanity around women, mm-hmm. but now the women are almost as bad as the men.
Oh, sometimes worse.
Yeah, and it's just, it's all going down the tube. And so I just think that if we can keep any sanity in the schools, let's get people on the school board that are going to be conservative and consider what the children are learning and hearing, and if we could get something done about it.
I think a lot more of us with parents of kids in junior high or middle school and high school, if we saw the curriculum in their health classes,
yeah.
we'd be able to preview it. Because I do have friends who had pulled their kids
right.
out and said, you're not teaching them that.
Yeah, and it's so bad that you have to sign a release for it. So that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Thanks, Diane, much.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry
for the gripe, but I still think...
That's what we're here for.
Political.
That's what we're here for.
Right. Okay. I enjoy your program.
Thank you.
And I was surprised when you were talking about things getting political down so low, but I'm pleased that they are.
Okay. Good.
All right. Fight back. I like it. Thank you, Diane.
Okay. Uh-huh.
You know, David, she's absolutely right. If your kid goes into sixth grade and they're not very old, you can go through fifth grade and you're in elementary school and they still have some semblance of innocence.
Some, yeah.
But now you put him in a same school and the same halls with, you know, 12 going on 13-year-olds, and the language that's in middle schools now, and the topics around, you know, boys and girls and sex and this and that, because now, I mean, you've gone through a pretty young person, and there's definitely an argument to be made that sixth graders should not be in the same halls as a soon-to-be ninth grader.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, I would agree with that. My friends, just like, oh, they're going to go to middle school. Or, oh, they've gone to a private school for all of elementary school, and now they're going to go to a public middle school.
That's going to be a rude awakening. Yeah, I've done that.
Be aware. Make sure that you know that their vocabulary is going to be vastly increased, and not in a good way.
Yeah, right.
I think I've complained about this on Newsmakers in the past, that Hollywood will actually put curse words into movies on purpose so they don't get a G rating. They will target what they have to do to get the rating that they want, if it's PG or PG-13.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and there are rules, like how many F-bombs? I mean, you can get a family movie with one F-bomb and it doesn't go to PG-13. So I don't particularly like the coarsening of American culture. I don't like the coarsening of America's conversation. Boy, there's so many examples. We don't even have time to get to them. But Robert De Niro, he threw the F-bomb. He was accepting an award, and the only thing he had to say was, you know what, Trump. And everybody, screeches in applause and thinks he's a hero, because they're like, and I do the same thing, and I argue with my sons with language in pop music, like rap music, right? Where it's prevalent is, well, one is somebody who likes the English language, right? And appreciates its beauty and its flexibility and everything about it. You can't find a better word than the S word. You know, and women too. Diane was just saying women are doing, they're putting it in their songs. I'm like, so as an artist, mm-hmm. that's the best. We have twice as many words in the English language as any other language. Did you know that?
I didn't.
But the only thing you can have to say is S this and this S, and don't mess with my S, and I'm going to get into your S, and really?
Yeah.
How are we supposed to have respect for you as a lady, for one? Sorry to be a sexist old bigot, but certainly as an artist. Oh, so you're a poet. You're a poet, and that's the word that means.
Yeah, that's
unbelievable.
It's sad and degrading of the English language, basically.
Yeah, we just tolerate it. It gets worse and worse and worse. And
it is.
It's prevalent and everywhere. So
sad to see.
It is. It is. All right. So let's preview tomorrow a little bit. We're going to have, of course, the volcanoes are going to be here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Going to hear more about the volcanoes. They got their fest.
Yeah, the Fan Fest.
Fan Fest coming up May 11th.
On the 11th, tomorrow.
I forgot what it was called.
Tomorrow, of course, we're going to have Cinco de Micro down at the convention center.
I know you'll be there.
I've got another event and another conflict, and we're and of course,
you make a flyby.
We all are anxious to get out in our properties for our springtime. Hey, thanks for being here today. Yeah. We covered a lot of territory, and I hope it was helpful. This is Brent DeHart with Dave Bourne, and you've been listening to Newsmakers on 1430 KYKN, Salem's Listening.
See you tomorrow.
This has been Lynn Fenton Tractor's Newsmakers with Brent DeHart and Dave Bourne, presented by Les Schwab Tires and sponsored in part by Furbish, a salvage place, and Kennedy Tax Solutions. Live local talk that matters to you from the Capital Auto Group studios, exclusively on 1430 KYKN. Salem is listening.